Seth is going to be sitting in for me on Monday, this Monday, on the Klein Time Show, so I appreciate that as well. Seth, welcome to the show. I know you're busy. Thanks for giving us a call and kind of laying the groundwork for this very important topic.
Well, thank you. And what is going on when you listen to the radio, when you read the newspaper, it's not news anymore. It's propaganda. Yeah. And so many people, I know when I was in fifth and sixth grade at Richmond Avenue School in Atlantic City, we lived in a time after, in the middle of the Cold War, after we had a bitter war with Hitler and the Japanese, and there was a movement back then to teach children, school children, how to identify propaganda so we wouldn't make the mistake of letting, you know, communists and national socialists and Nazis get as strong as they did. And it seems that a whole generation or two generations have grown up not knowing what propaganda is. They don't recognize it. And what has been in our media constantly is so blatant, I decided to have Liberty and Prosperity take some time to teach the basics of what propaganda is and where it started and so on.
And so with that, its origins, as you were pointing out on the post yesterday, and if you can give folks directions as to how they can get to that post so they can read it for themselves as well.
Sure. It's posted at libertyandprosperity.com, and you could also sign up for our newsletters there because even though it's also on our Twitter feed, it's also on Facebook, but as Facebook, quote, throttled us down and Twitter bans us little by little, the best way to reach us is through the website and through our newsletter.
Yeah, at least for the time being until Google and some of the others start doing the same thing, unless that gets addressed. That's a whole nother topic. But anyway, go ahead, Seth.
But basically, a lot of people think that propaganda, the term, the name, began with the Nazis or with the communists because they used it so much. But it actually began here in America with a fascinating man called Edward Bernays. I don't know if that name is familiar to you, but most people know who Sigmund Freud is. Sigmund Freud invented psychiatry, his book, The Interpretation of Dreams, which really told the world how many people make decisions based on emotion and not on logic. And basically, Edward Bernays was the son of the sister of Sigmund Freud. So Sigmund Freud did all of his work in Austria and Vienna. He had a sister move to Boston.
Right.
And the son, Edward Bernays, went into journalism. And he developed a whole field, which he called propaganda. He wrote a book called Propaganda in 1928, which described these techniques to play on people's emotions so you can manipulate public opinion. And later on, when he saw how the communists and the Nazis were using his book to enslave people and to kill people, he was embarrassed by the name of his book, so he renamed his work Public Relations. You could talk for an hour just on this Edward Bernays. By the way, he was the one who got women to smoke cigarettes back in the 1920s. Only men smoked cigarettes. Women didn't smoke them. And the tobacco companies were trying to figure out how to sell more cigarettes. So basically, they hired Edward Bernays to do his propaganda or public relations. And he did this whole campaign to tell women that cigarettes were, quote, torches of freedom. And that by smoking cigarettes, they were proving their independence of men and to showing how they've been liberated. And suddenly, he got millions and millions of American women smoking cigarettes. Using these propaganda techniques. So he's very, very effective for good or for evil. But you have to notice their techniques.
So how can we fast forward that? I know what you're talking about. I'm sure many in the audience sees it almost on a regular basis, sees it or hears it. But just for context purposes, talk about it in today's terms.
All right. Well, last week we had three major stories that were classic propaganda. One of them was where every newspaper article, every radio story you heard a week ago Monday was that the sheriff, Sheriff Nolan of Cape May, that Sheriff Golden of Monmouth County was ignoring orders by the governor by cooperating with federal immigration officials and enforcing federal immigration laws. So the whole story, the whole narrative was, who are these sheriffs to defy the order of the governor? But there was one. There's a key element of propaganda, which is called omission. It's not telling a lie, but leaving out an important truth. And the truth was, the United States Constitution says that federal law is the supreme law of the land, Article 6 to be specific, and that every local law enforcement officer has to take an oath to support the Constitution and enforce federal laws.
And that's that's over and above the state law. So in other words, any law enforcement officer that is not following the constitutional law is in violation? Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, and this is stuff that every American once knew. It's called Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution. Any eighth grader could read the whole thing in maybe 15 minutes. Article 6, the Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, are the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state are bound by there.
Wow.
Are bound thereby, anything in the Constitution laws of the state to the contrary. And all executive and judicial officers and sheriffs are both executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and the several states, shall be bound by an oath to support the Constitution, which is why we have a swearing-in ceremony. In other words, every time someone, you see someone gets elected, they get sworn in. Well, what's the oath they swear? The oath required by the United States Constitution to swear to enforce federal laws.
And it even says that. Do you swear to uphold the Constitution and so forth and so on?
Yeah. So the story should not have been, why are these sheriffs disobeying the order of Attorney General Gruel and the Governor Murphy? The question should be, how dare two officials who took an oath to support the Constitution ordering other officers to violate their oath of office? That should have been the story. But
great.
You see, because of propaganda, they left out an element.
Great point, Seth. Great point. Now, as part of that omission, and in your piece you posted yesterday, omission is one of three things needs to be present in order for this propaganda to be taken place. What are the other two?
Well, one of them is called labeling, where you just throw a label at somebody. And you'll notice that in the description of people like me who are getting banned by Facebook, getting banned by Twitter, a lot of good people being thrown off, but yet the Press of Atlantic City, in its article, gave them a label. They called us far-right provocateurs. That's the name the press gave us, the label, that I am a far-right provocateur. Which implies that, we shouldn't have any rights. You know, if we get locked up and taken away, who cares? Because we have this label that makes us evil. He also saw the label racist being thrown around.
Yep.
So again, you put a label on people, and then suddenly whatever I say is not taken seriously or not even considered because there's a label. And a third technique they use is called mocking. Where you make fun of somebody, based on something that has absolutely nothing to do with the issue. So what they did is, in Friday's paper, they made fun of Trump for complaining about social media, but he uses social media. So they're mocking him, but of course the truth is President Trump has to use social media because 98% of the established media is against him, so he has nowhere else to go.
It's incredible.
So these are techniques that they use, and there are various other techniques. Basically, this Bernays perfected it in the 1920s. Communist leader Vladimir Lenin also perfected it at the same time in Europe. You have people like Saul Alinsky, who just merely copied what they did. Joseph Goebbels copied their work for the Nazis in Germany. So there are the book Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky gives a bunch of things. I'll give you one other example. Remember when we had the 4th of July celebration and President Trump had the celebration? They didn't call it the national celebration. They called it Trump's celebration.
Right.
They personalized it to isolate it. You'll notice that when they talked about the airplanes that flew overhead, they called them war planes. But when we have the air show in August in Atlantic City, they call it, oh, the Air Force and Navy are having planes for an air show. But they made it warlike and ominous in describing it for Trump. I'll give you one more example. When the resolution against Trump that was passed by the Democrats in Congress, when you had the Republicans-controlled Congress, or the House of Representatives, they have, would have, make resolutions against Democratic President Obama, the press and the media would always specify the Republicans in Congress did this, the Republicans in Congress did that. But now it says Congress did this. Doesn't say the Democrats in Congress did this. Yeah. So these are the subtle ways. Now, you would expect, you know, lawyers to exaggerate the facts. You would accept people campaigning to do it. But most Americans are very naive. They don't expect the newspaper to do it.
So we're running out of time. So let me ask you this, Seth, and you'll be here on Monday. You got the whole 2 hours to do your thing, and it's great when you come on. Because it's like getting a lesson in liberty and freedom that we all really should hear more about on a regular basis. But you know, with this that's going on, we know that it's happening right in front of us. But it's a combination of subliminal, as you pointed out, in omission and whatnot. But now it's also being quite overt. My question, though, I don't want to get tied up in that. What I want to know, Seth, is why is the media so down? And I realize it's more of an opinion question than, you know, actuality, but I'm asking your opinion. Why are they so down with this leftist, extreme left ideology that most certainly would result in many of them being taken out from their position? I mean, in other words, they're advocating for something that's going to be detrimental to them.
Yeah, but they don't know that, and that's why the communists actually invented a term to describe them called useful idiots. In other words, they think that if they help destroy America, they're going to be very important, and they're going to be running things under the new regime. If they had any sense of history, they would know they're the first ones who are going to get eliminated because they're not useful anymore once the new regime takes over. But I have noticed this, and I've said this on your show many times. I graduated Duke University in 1971. So we're talking about just about 50 years ago, or 48 years ago. Back then, in the journalism schools, the young professors were saying it's not the purpose of going into a career of journalism just to report the facts. It's your job, if you want to be a journalism, it's your job to change society.
Wow.
And get rid of the evil American system we have and bring social justice.
Wow.
So this is something that did not happen overnight. But what we did happen overnight is slowly the young reporters suddenly became senior reporters, and the senior reporters became the managers, the owners of these media companies. So now people who have hated America for the past 50 years are now running all of our mainstream media. And they're even, and so what happened, conservatives fled to talk radio and social media and you know, the Fox News Channel, and now you see the movement by these people. They thought they would have taken control of this country 10 years ago. They're disappointed and angry that they did not. So now they're trying to shut down conservatives on social media, kick us off talk radio, marginalize. You know how they marginalize everyone on talk radio? They call you entertainers. Not to be taken seriously, and they blame every evil going on in the country on the Fox News network, even though they're not really, Fox isn't all that conservative when you come down to it.
No, they're not.
So anyway, if you want to know more, libertyandprosperity.com, and many times I feel like I'm living, when I was in the 1980s, I visited the Soviet Union to help Jews escape from communism. And the way the media worked there at the time is very similar to the way it works here. The purpose of the media is not to inform, but to manipulate and control and make sure that the right people get elected and stay in power.
Seth, thanks for joining us. I got to take a break, buddy. Thanks for getting in today.
Right.
Very important topic.
Liberty.com. Thank you.
You got it. Seth will be here on Monday, folks. We got to take a quick break. Carl, when we come back, thanks for hanging in there. I'll go right to you. This is Klein Time, News Talk 1400 WOND.
I'm Seth Grossman for LibertyAndProsperity.com. There are so-called green energy projects all over New Jersey. There are five big wind turbines in Atlantic City. There are solar panels on homes, churches, fields, and even telephone poles. And yet electric bills in New Jersey are higher than ever. Why? Why are we burning just as much oil and natural gas to make electricity as we did before? The short answer is that so far, scientists have not figured out how to use unreliable, intermittent spurts of electricity from the sun, wind, or lightning to replace fossil fuels in a power grid to save money. All the money we pay for so-called green energy is a scam. Those wind turbines and solar panels are nothing but props. Let's talk about it 9:30 this or any Saturday at the Shore Diner, Tilton Fire Roads by Parkway Exit 36, Neg Harbor Township. There's no obligation other than order and pay for your own breakfast. Learn more and sign up for our email updates at LibertyAndProsperity.com. Thanks.